May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. So good morning again. A couple things I want to talk about. I want to talk a little bit about Jeremiah and this image of God as the fountain of living water and this unfortunate situation that is described, cracked cisterns that can hold no water. And then I want to talk about these two related passages in the gospel. I think in today's gospel we have as psychological a set of lessons as we almost, really as we ever get. It's not so much about the etiquette at a dinner party as it is how one lives with the complexity of one's inner life. So the passage from Jeremiah, I'm going to go back to something that I feel like I'm just beating it like a drum every week, but it's again this quotation from Hildegard of Bingen, because when we come across this an image, say in the Old Testament, I am the fountain of living water. I mean, I want that to be resonant for us. I want, as we will go later in the sermon, I want us to hear Jesus talking to the woman at the well in Samaria and speaking about a fountain of living water rising up within her. And so the quote from Hildegard of Bingen, again, Holy Spirit, giving life to all life, moving all creatures, root of all things, washing them clean of all mistakes, healing their wounds. You are our true life, luminous, wonderful, awakening the heart from its ancient sleep. To me, this is a pretty good description of God as a fountain of living water, or the fountain of water that Jesus spoke about. And once again, I mean, the idea that I'm putting forth that I think is deeply congruent with the scriptural witness is that all things, by virtue of having been created by God, share this connection with the Holy Spirit. This connection with the Holy Spirit is not something that occurs religiously. We don't make it happen. I think it is our great gift to recognize and to acknowledge and to learn how to listen to that inner connection. But it's there already, and it's there in all creatures. Now, the problem that is laid out in Jeremiah, when Jeremiah speaks of cracked cisterns that don't hold much water, it's really a way of talking about how much energy, our social energy, our cultural energy, is devoted to things other than cultivating that sense of inner presence. We you know, practically, we treat our everyday lives as if there are lots of things more important than that sense of inner presence, that sense of living water, that connection that we share with all of creation. We live as if there are things more important than that. And then a scriptural passage like this will come and say, actually, no. And those things that you think are so important, the cultural activities, the things upon which you spend your time and money, cracked cisterns don't really have anything of that deep interior connection and don't point us toward it, rather point us away, distracting us. And so it's a cultural dynamic that I think that Jeremiah is talking about, and wherever he talks about it, then the signs of that would be injustice, people whose needs are not met, the oppressed, the poor. So there's an outward form of a culture that neglects its true inner heart. So that's, I think, probably enough about cracked cisterns and the theology that really reminds us that all things already are connected to God. Now we move to these two passages. One, when you go to a dinner party, don't take the place of honor, but take the lowest place so that you might be lifted up higher. And then when you give a banquet, Don't invite the rich people that can repay you. Invite those who have nothing, apparently, to give you in return. And I said this, I'm going to do a pretty psychological reading of this, because I think what Jesus is really talking about is the ways that each one of us as individuals in our experience of life in our various social groupings, be it family or school or church, there are things that happen to us. And one of the ways that we can talk about what happens to us, and it happens, I think, I'll just put this out as a universal experience. What happens to us is that we begin to discover that some parts of us are not as acceptable as other parts. We laugh at something and we're scolded. We express an interest in something and it doesn't fit. And so, you know, very early in life, we begin to accumulate a kind of discard bin where there are aspects of ourselves that we have learned, you know, maybe if, you know, we should be embarrassed about that, we should hide it, it's not quite acceptable. The image that I often use for this, it comes out of Greek mythology. And I haven't used this figure for a number of years, and so maybe I can go back to it safely. It's the figure of Procrustes. And there is the image of the Procrustean bed. He's a giantish fellow, and there was a pass on the way to a sacred site, and he would waylay travelers and stick them on a bed. And if they were too short, he would stretch them out. And if they were too long, he would cut them off. The Procrustean bed that nobody fits. And that's the fate. I mean, I've kind of been going back to even Sigmund Freud, but that was sort of his understanding of what it's like to be an individual in culture. Everybody gets put on a Procrustean bed and we get stretched or cut, but nobody quite fits. And so the whole Freudian sort of enterprise really could almost be summarized as saying, I'm gonna ease the pain for individuals who experience themselves this way in culture. I'm gonna go back and I'm gonna walk with them and I'm gonna talk with them and I'm gonna bring awareness to all of those parts of ourselves that we have learned to be ashamed of. So this is a fairly long poem, and I would recommend it to anyone here. It's by W.H. Auden. And it's called In Memory of Sigmund Freud. And one of the things he says of Freud, he says, all that he did was to remember like the old and be honest like children. He wasn't clever at all. He merely told the unhappy present to recite the past, the poetry lesson, until sooner or later it faltered at the line where long ago the accusations had begun. He merely told the unhappy present to recite the past like a poetry lesson, till sooner or later it faltered at the line where long ago the accusations had begun. That's what begins the process of disowning. I don't want to acknowledge that part of myself. And suddenly knew by whom it had been judged, how rich life had been, and how silly, and was life forgiven, and more humble. And I want us to hear that word humble. He who humbles himself, she who humbles herself, will be exalted. Imagine this in terms of a psychotherapeutic journey, where you are humbled by recovering again those things that you had learned not to acknowledge about yourself, the things that you had become afraid of, the things that caused you to become divided in yourself. Could you just open that door so that we could let whoever, I assume it's safe to let someone in. Come on.
Person.
So the humility. Well, let's...
Sorry.
It's all right. Come on in. Come on in.
We'll find you. We'll find you. Do you want to sit with Patsy?
Sort of don't want church to be too traumatic for little kids. You know, it sets up a bad pattern. Okay, so come back. This process of being, of recovering, of learning to experience in oneself parts that you might have learned to judge or to be distant from or to renounce. That's the kind of humbleness that Jesus has in mind. It's not humiliation. It's not shame. It's recovering the whole story about oneself. The inclination, the exalting of oneself.
Sorry.
I am not going to be the guy that throws the crying baby out. Not going to do it.
I'm glad.
That was great. But I do get a little distracted. The whole story of oneself, the exaltation is... When Jesus says, the one who exalts himself will be humbled, what I think Jesus means is the exalting of oneself is living more or less solely in terms of that which you would put on your resume. It's like a resume that you give to God or give to the world. You say, this is who I am. This is my best side. I can do this. I've done this. And I can, boy, I'm interested in this. And it's this sort of ideal version of ourselves. And often people are really out of touch and feel very threatened by they know not what, but something within themselves that they are unaware of. And it's when Jesus speaks of being humbled in that sense, it is what you're not conscious of is going to do its mischief in your life. If you're not, what you are not aware of is left free to work its mischief in the dark. And so the strategy is become very familiar with even those parts of yourselves that you might think of as unacceptable, which is, I think, also the deep meaning of what Jesus was talking about in the second part of the gospel. When you throw a party, and this is the party of your life, when you throw a party, don't identify just with the things that are, you know, are giving you things back. You know, you also have to include those parts of yourselves that you might think of as blind and as lame and as crippled, the things that you don't want to put on your resume. You don't think they have anything to offer you. But again, in that sense of the journey downward into the whole truth of one's life, what one discovers is that the reunion of all of one's parts is one of the deepest joys we can experience as human beings. True acceptance of the parts of ourselves that really need to be accepted. And the figure that I want to sort of close with is, again, the woman at the well in Samaria. This scandalous woman that had been married so many times that nobody could even keep track. And she was just an outcast figure. And in her conversation with Jesus, she goes running into the town saying, he told me everything I ever did, and I'm okay. He told me everything I ever did, and I am not destroyed by humiliation, driven from my community by shame. I'm okay. That's what the one who humbles herself will be exalted. And that's what the exaltation is. It's not like, I get to rule the world, but I get to be myself. I get to recover the gift that God gives us as a living gift, this gift of the process of the self that each one of us is. And the world, you know, we speak of the world as sinful. Well, part of the way that shows up is in the way it divides us against ourselves. And so to go down in, you know, like Freud, like Auden is talking about in the poem, to remember and recover those things, it points us toward the exaltation of the Samaritan woman that runs into town saying, "Wow, I can be my whole story. I don't have to leave any part of it out, and I'm okay." That's the good news that the gospel presents with us today. Not to be afraid of ourselves, not to buy the judgments that have surrounded us and continue to every day of our lives, but to go down to a level below that where we get to recover all of who we are and lift all of that up into that refreshing stream of living water or the light of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're being called to today. And it is truly good news. Amen.
Amen.